We're going to be in the book of 1 Samuel today in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to look at a mom's story, a story of Hannah. So we've been in the book of Joshua, and we've been doing a series there, and we'll come back to that next week. But today we're going to focus on Mother's Day, all right? So Barna came out with some research last year that just on moms. And 21% of Christian moms feel confident in their contributions to the world, but only 14% of non-Christian mothers feel confident in the topic. So if you're a Christian mom, you feel a little more confident about the contribution you're making in the world. But either way, 14 or 19% isn't very high, right? It's still a majority of women do not feel confident about the contribution that they are making. Does that sound alarming to you? Yeah. So 80% of moms don't feel like what they do matters in the world. Wow, that's just hard. Mother's Day was started by Anna Jarvis, 1908, so if you like some history, in honor of her mother. It later became a national holiday in 1914. She would later fight against Mother's Day because she felt like it was getting too commercialized. And And it didn't recognize the gift of motherhood. All right, and the clearest precedent we have for Mother's Day is found in the early Christian festival known as Mothering Sunday. And so on that Mothering Sunday in the United Kingdom and other parts of Europe, people would go back to their home church, okay, where they grew up, and their mother church, and then they would recognize moms, all right? Over time, Mothering Sunday, that tradition shifted to a secular holiday, and children would present their moms with flowers and other tokens of appreciation, but the custom eventually faded in more popularity with merging with Mother's Day, all right? And I think sometimes we've seen a lot of holidays in our world that once they become commercialized, it becomes all about the gifts, and it's more of a commercialized thing for businesses to make money, right? And we lose track of what the holiday or the celebration was about. And Mother's Day is more than just the flower businesses making money, right? Or those companies making money, and I hope they do okay. But it's also about valuing the gift of motherhood. And it's a very biblical thing, moms are, and to value that. And so I think sometimes there's different stages of motherhood, and I've been a father, so I can't speak to being a mom, all right? But there's different seasons, right? There is the leading up to motherhood, and then there's the early stages of mom having those infants and those newborns and sleepless nights, and then you get the teenagers, and maybe there you still have sleepless nights, and just the problems change, right? And then they get old, they get married off, and then maybe even still there you have some sleepless nights because you're praying for them. But things change, right? Some godly examples of motherhood in the Bible. You have Jochebed, and she was the mother of Moses. All right. And then Hannah was the mother of Samuel. And Mary was the mother of Jesus, yeah. All right. Lois and Eunice were mother and grandmother of who? Timothy. Yeah, somebody got it there. Georgia. All right. Moms have, our culture tends to value Mother's Day, but it doesn't value moms, I think, for who they are and just that gift of motherhood. So moms have various giftings that make them great moms, okay? And studies will show that moms are probably, women typically are better at multitasking than men, okay, right? Right? They are. Men are very much very focused, and it's kind of like when they get their mind on something, they do that, right? I think God had that, I think that was part of his plan. I think there was some good things to that. Women tend to be a little more multitaskers, and anyway, but here's the deal. So with the wars, right, World War I, World War II, women went to work, right? That is when women started working outside the home. It's not that like they didn't work, right? They started working outside the home, and that was really a shift for our culture, right? And so often, moms get more value and more appreciation for what they do in the secular world than they do in the home, okay? All right? So the title nurse, school teacher, CEO, doctor, marketing, those are all good things, and women can fill those roles very capably, but sometimes they get more value and more appreciation from our society from doing that than if they stay home and change a diaper, right? Put up with a kid that's fussy, right? Those things are hard. And I think they both have value, but we want to honor moms today and just that value of it. Amen. And I want us to look at a mom today in Scripture. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 1. It is the story of Hannah. And we've spoken on this a few times over the years, but it's the birth of Samuel. And so it is in the time before Israel had a king. But they were in the promised land. So we've been in the book of Joshua. So it is after Joshua. They've settled in the promised land, modern day Israel. But it is before the time they have kings. They're going to go through a time and season where they have a prophet named Samuel, which we're going to learn about here. And then eventually he would appoint Saul. And then you have David and Solomon as kings. So we're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 1 and begin with the word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is the living word of God that is able to shape and transform us and speak into our lives today. We give you the thanks. We ask it in your name. Everybody said? Amen. So let's begin verse 1. It says, there was a certain man named from Ramathaim. Aren't you glad I got these? A Zephite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zaph, the Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah. Everybody say Hannah. And the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had, say that word, none. And year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, Eli was the priest, were the priests of the Lord. And so it was often for devout Jewish believers to go up to Jerusalem, up to the temple, to offer sacrifices on an annual basis, okay? And so there are psalms, like Psalms 120-ish in that area, are called songs of ascent. Okay, you'll see that in the note as the beginning of that chapter. There was psalms that they would sing on their way up to Jerusalem because Jerusalem was higher elevation. So verse 4, when the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of meat to his wife Peninnah and to her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. She wasn't able to bear children. There was infertility there. Verse 6, because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb. So that's interesting that it says that God had closed her womb. Why would God do that? And her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. Isn't that nice? Verse 7, this went on year after year, and Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, and her rival provoked her until she wept and would not eat. Sometimes life is not fair, is it? And her husband, Elkanah, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Good husband. Verse 9. And once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. And now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorposts of the Lord's house. And in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant and give her a son, I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. You know, life is not fair. Worldwide, 1 out of 6 women will experience infertility. That's pretty high. 1 out of 6. It's a little bit lower in the U.S. Sarah had that issue, Abraham's wife, right? She couldn't have a child, and they prayed, and then finally when they are past childbearing years, Abraham's 100 and she's like 90 or something like that, they have a son. His name is Isaac. In the United States, 10 to 15% of couples experience infertility. It's not always with the woman. Sometimes it's with the man. And over the years, you know, we've prayed with several couples that are having problems or want to have a child, and it just isn't happening. And God's answered those prayers on several occasions. And Hannah had a longing, right? She wanted to be a mom, but it just wasn't happening. It was happening for her rival, as we call it, but it wasn't happening for her. A longing to hold her own child in her arms, a son, a daughter. According to Scripture, she had done nothing wrong. She hadn't sinned. God had closed up her womb. And so, for some kind of medical reason, she wasn't able to conceive. And in life, most of us will experience desires, longings, dreams that do not materialize. And maybe it's to be a mom, maybe it's something else. But we have those dreams, those longings, those desires that make our heart ache, that fill our maybe some of our days with sadness. We grieve the loss of what we can't have. Christy mentioned a mom, death of a son, you know. I think most people want to live beyond their children. Hannah had a longing and a desire to be a mom, and it was not being met. And so she poured out her heart to God. And just because things are not as what we would like them to be doesn't mean that God has deserted us or he doesn't love us. We don't get that impression here. I think God loved Hannah and God saw her. And the thing that we see here in the first principle, if you're taking notes, is that suffering opens the door to spiritual growth. And so during her struggle, during her suffering, did Hannah moan and complain? She did cry. But she did cry out to God, did she not? And she prayed, and she sought the face of God. And it was through her suffering that she drew closer to God and prayed earnest prayers. You know, I don't wish suffering on anybody, but it is often in those times of suffering, it causes us to pray harder and to dig deeper into God's word. It is during those times that God refines us as gold, right? He takes away the impurities and we press in. Suffering opens the door to spiritual growth in our lives. And if you're human, you're going to have some type of suffering in your life. I don't know what kind of shape or form it will take. You will have it in your life. And sometimes it is a gift from God. And I say that very carefully, but it can be a gift of God that we can grow and experience his blessing and grow deeper with him. One of our leaders of our network, they've recently moved to California. He was a father, a husband, athletic. They're driving back from the western part of the state, I think maybe from Colorado, and driving along I-80. And they're driving, and I think, I don't know, the son fell asleep at the wheel. He reached over to guide the steering wheel, overcorrected, the car rolled. Son came out of it okay, but he was a quadriplegic after that. And I think one of the best messages I ever heard him speak at one of our network councils, he said, you know what? He goes, I don't regret what had happened because it was an opportunity for God to, he experienced God's grace and his mercy in a different way. And I don't always understand all that, right? But he said, you know what? Through that time and that season, God worked in his life. Suffering opens the door for spiritual growth. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I want people to experience God's blessing. But what I will say, that when God brings suffering your way, press in and seek his face. Amen? Let's look at verses 12 through 18. It says, as she kept praying to the Lord, she's in the temple. The high priest Eli observed her mouth and Hannah praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. And Eli thought she was what? She was drunk. How long are you going to stay drunk? Put your wine away. I have a feeling Hannah maybe felt like drinking at times. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I'm a woman that is deeply troubled. I've not been drinking wine or beer. I've been pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out my heart in great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. And she said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast, and she left. Second part I call Hannah's vow. Hannah prayed an earnest prayer, Lord, give me a son, and if you give me a son, I am going to dedicate him to the Lord for the rest of his life. You know, he's not going to shave his head. It's kind of like a Nazarite vow. I'll give him to you, God, if you give me a son. And the thing I think we see here is that whether our prayers are spoken or not, I believe God hears our prayers. You ever prayed those prayers and you wonder, God, are you listening? You know, I wish God would catch up with the texting thing, you know, right? Okay, we received your prayer and it's being answered. It's answered. All right? Error, right? Kind of like the Amazon package. It doesn't always work that way. We seek God, but there's something with Hannah. She left with peace, and her countenance had changed because I think she knew that God had heard her prayer and that somehow God was going to work this out. So growing up, my folks would, you know, back in the day, it was called praying through. Anybody heard of that term? You prayed until you just, the peace of God was there and you knew that God had heard your prayer. It was usually some earnest prayer, and it was a term that they would use often. The second principle is that God hears our earnest prayers. And we don't always know. We don't get that reply at times, and that's where I think it's important that we seek God. We pray until we know he gives us that peace in our heart that we've prayed through, that he's heard us, and that it's going to be okay. We don't know when the answer's coming. We may not know the outcome of that. You know, and sometimes God does, he answers our prayers, but not the way we want him to. You ever had God do that to you? And sometimes that's a good thing, because if God answered all our prayers the way we wanted him to, it'd be kind of like, oh man, I'm glad God didn't answer that prayer, right? It's like you click the button, you go, oh man, I didn't want to order that, right? can I delete it, right? Praying through. Hannah poured out her heart to God. God heard her prayer. And he will answer our earnest prayers as well. God's still in the business of answering our prayers as we seek his face. Let's look at verses 19 through 20. Early the next morning, they rose and they worshiped before the Lord and went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah made love with his wife, Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. And so in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And she named him what? Samuel. Saying, because I asked the Lord for him. God heard her prayer. 9 months later or so, she gives birth to a healthy baby boy. The joy and the happiness that filled her heart, she probably couldn't contain, right? It's kind of like, ha-ha. She'd walk by her rival, the other wife, and there was a joy and a happiness in her heart that wasn't there before. Her face was radiant. I believe there was just laughter that filled her heart and her life. The third principle is that God has infinite power to answer our earnest prayers. Can God answer a prayer like that? He can. He did several times in Scripture. We've prayed for people here, and that has happened. We've prayed for people, and it hasn't happened. But what I do know is that God is able to answer those prayers. Amen? He hears those prayers, and he has infinite power. Infinite means it's not limited. It's infinite. It can do more than we can ask, think, or imagine. So that's what Ephesians 3:20 through 21 says. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask, think, or imagine, according to his power at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God's power is infinite, beyond anything that we can ask, think, or imagine. Amen. Let's bring it home here. Verses 21 through 28, and then we're going to jump ahead to verses 1 through 10 of chapter 2. When her husband Elkanah went up for the annual family with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I'll take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." "Do what seems best to you," her husband Elkanah told her. "And stay here until you've weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home, nursed her son until she had weaned him. And after he was weaned, she took the boy with her, and she a young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull. So he maybe was anywhere from 1 to 2 years old, all right? That's typically when children get weaned. "And a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And when the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli. And he said to him," and I don't know if I would have wanted to entrust him to Eli, because if you look at Eli, was Eli a good father? No, he wasn't. His sons were not good people. Verse 26, "And she said to him, 'Pardon me, my Lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood beside you praying to the Lord. And I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord for his whole life. He will be given over to the Lord, and he will worship the Lord here.'" And then we go into verses 1 through 10. It says, "Then Hannah prayed and said," it's more of a song. It says, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted up." So the horn is kind of like a sign of strength and power. "My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, and those who stumble are armed with strength. And those who were full hire find themselves out for food. But those who are hungry are hungry no more. And she who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down the grave and rises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth, and he humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust, and he lifts up the needy from the ash heap. He seats them in princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked he will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails, and those who oppose the Lord will be broken, and the Most High will thunder from heaven, for the Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he'll give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Amen. If I can have the musicians come, and if somebody needs, yes. You know, it is not by strength that one prevails. So that talks about physical strength, right? But it is through the God's faithfulness. The last principle here is that God is worthy of our praise. And so Hannah sings a song of praise that flows from her own experience, right? That God is able to exalt and he's able to humble, right? And I think we need to remember that in our world and in just our daily life, that sometimes life is not fair, but God is able to level the playing field. And he hears our prayer. If we humble ourselves before him and seek his face, God will provide and he will hear our prayer. Through her suffering, through her struggle, Hannah experienced the faithfulness of God, understood and knew God at a whole new level that people have had. And with motherhood comes opportunities to trust God. It may be for a child, or maybe it's for a sick child that you're praying that God touch and heal them. Maybe it's praying for strength and wisdom for their child as they grow up, or praying for their salvation, that they walk in the ways of God or come to know God. And so they seek the face of God. Being a parent is a privilege and an honor, but I think it helps us to get to understand God better. Amen? Because it is a parent's love for a child I think that helps us understand God's love for us. The patience, the love that we love our children even when they mess up and they can be ornery, disobey. You don't stop loving them. You don't give up on them. And that's what God does for us. And I think sometimes we can be hard on ourselves, that we mess up, we can fail, and we think, God is, he's out to get me now. God's love is faithful. It doesn't mean we have a license to sin. We talked about that last week, right? But it does mean that God's covenant love, it's his chesed love, it's the Hebrew word in the Old Testament. It's translated unfailing love, devotion, steadfast love, that it's always there. It's not going to let go. And Israel experienced that. If you look at Israel, God had a covenant love for them. Now, they still had to go into exile, and God had to punish them because of their disobedience, but he did not totally destroy them. He brought them back. He restored them because he loved them and because of his covenant love. From Hannah's story, we learned that, you know what, if suffering comes into our life, it opens the door for our spiritual growth and maturity. God hears our prayers, and more than that, he has the power to answer those prayers. And above all, he's worthy of our praise. Amen. Would you stand this morning? I'm going to lead us in a prayer of salvation, and then I got one other thing that I want us to touch upon. And if you're here today, whether you're listening online or you're here in person today, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you don't have the hope of heaven, knowing that your sins are forgiven, and that God is with you, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. We're going to join in together. And if you mean that with all your heart, it begins the process. It's no magic wish or prayer. It's just a matter of us confessing with our mouth and believing in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it begins the journey for us to walk with him. So let's pray together, saying, Dear God, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and my Savior. Walk with me each day of my life. In your name we pray, amen. Amen. With every eye closed this morning, if you're here this morning and you have a prayer, a desire, there's something inside of you, a prayer that maybe like Hannah's, it keeps you awake at night, maybe causes a few tears to be shed. It's for a child, for a loved one, and it seems beyond you what you can do. I'm not even going to look up. I'm just going to keep my head bowed. But if that's you, would you just raise your hand to the Lord this morning, just saying, God, I have a prayer, and I want to bring it before you today. And God, you see those hands this morning, and we raise those hands in faith, knowing that we serve a God that is able to do more than we can ask, think, or even imagine. And just even in our prayer time before service, it was a prayer request for a mom that is, as a couple, they're struggling with infertility and they desperately want a child. And God, you hear those prayers. You hear those prayers regardless of what those are. And God, we can come before you in faith, believing that you can do more than we can ask, think, or imagine. Father, we give it to you, Lord God. May you be exalted. May you be lifted up. We give the thanks and the praise we ask in your precious name. Everybody said amen. Let's worship the Lord together this morning. Yeah. Amen. Christy, is Christy here? I have Christy join me over here. Christy, I'll have you come over this side. Yolanda was here. Is she back there? All right. She's not there. All right. Victor? Yeah, okay. If you have a prayer request this morning, you want somebody to agree with you in prayer, they'll be here. And agree with you in prayer. I've seen God answer some big prayers. And some prayers, maybe sometimes I think, well, My mom, she'll be listening to the message later today. She does every Sunday. But every Saturday afternoon, early evening, she calls and she prays for our service on Sunday. Isn't that cool? She's 87. I've seen God answer a lot of her prayers. Some of them maybe not life and death. I remember we were fishing up in Canada. I was 12 years old, and we went fishing on the big lake. We caught walleye and northern pike and stuff, but we went to this lake we'd have to portage into, so it was like a half mile we'd have to walk to it. Much smaller lake, but there was these huge northern pike in there. So we went the first day, and everybody else caught big fish, but not me, okay? It's like I couldn't buy a fish, right? And so they felt bad. My parents felt bad, so I was probably pouting a little bit. So they booked us to go. It was open to available. There's these little 14-foot V-Haul boats we went in, small motor. And so we went to 2 days later and went there. And before we left, my mom prayed that I would catch a big fish. That was part of her prayer. And so that day, nobody else caught anything, but I caught the big fish, right? That's on my wall. If you go in my basement, it's on my wall. God answers a mom's prayers. That's not a life and death thing. But as a young boy, it was important to me. I think God hears our prayers. Hears the prayers of a mom. Amen. Father, this morning, I thank you for each mom that is here and each mom that is listening today. And maybe even just there's part of our church family here. Lord God, just ask a special blessing upon them this day. Lord God, I know sometimes in the thick of motherhood, it seems tough, it seems difficult, and what they're doing doesn't matter. Sometimes kids, at some moments, make you the proudest person in the world, and at other moments, they can make you feel, they can humble you. And Lord God, I just pray that each mom here senses value, not only from their family, but even just from you, that they get that divine, just your word speaking to them, that they are highly favored, they're chosen. And one of the most important things they'll ever do in this life is to be a mom. Regardless of what stage that they're at, that there's value in that, and they play a huge role in the kingdom of God. And so, Lord God, special blessing upon moms and upon everybody here today as we leave. May your blessing and your presence go with us. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. If you have a prayer request, come forward. There is a special gift for moms that are present here today. Grab a flower. God bless you today.